I'm going to remind you that this is not a linear process. Some cautionary comments, then we're going to look at the three basic approaches to determining the number of factors, and then look at some of the other stuff that's coming that will help with this. Factor analysis, the concept, sorting variables into groups that capture the same sort of information. And factor analysis, the mathematical process, are so different from each other that we have to work pretty hard to get the math to do what we want them to do conceptually. We are sort of fortunate in that one of the early parents of factor analysis also was a bipolar. And in this poor gentleman's more depressed moments, he wrote quite candidly about how he thought his factor analysis was coming. And he lamented the fact that there was so much separation that you cannot make up a rule that gives you the number of factors. That different rules seem to work under different circumstances, but we don't really have nailed down yet which ones are which circumstances. And so you want to approach it as an exploratory process. It's not like testing a nested model, hypothesis, and regression. It's like all the work that went into deciding that it makes sense to ask if these set of variables adds anything to this set of variables in terms of variance accounted for this criterion. When we start doing multiple regression, we tend to be so much farther along in our thinking than when we start a factor analysis. When we start a factor analysis, if we really need to do a factor analysis, it's because we begin by admitting we don't know what the hell's going on in this set of variables. We don't know how to think about what information there is or how many kinds of information or what variables impart what information. It's just a much more exploratory time in the research, and you just have to sort of give yourself over to that. And if you do, and you are faithful in your use of both clustering and factoring, you will find things that other people blow past in a hurry to test a confirmatory regression or discriminant or some other or path model or something like that. Stopping and asking, how many kinds are there and what are those kinds, even in deeply and richly researched areas, can often be very profitable. It's a way of getting very positive attention as a young researcher, as a young faculty member, as a young professional, to say, hey, you know what? The reason the model's not working is we're trying to apply the model to a group that's three different groups, that's four different groups. Why does this variable not behave the way we think it does? Because there's really three different kinds of information embedded in that variable. And if we pull it apart, we get more useful information. Those ongoing tests of homogeneity assumptions can be a very good way of getting a lot of positive information as a young researcher. All right, here's the steps we talked about earlier. We have to decide how many factors, we've got to rotate the factors, we have to interpret the factors, and then very often we build factor scores, either to explore the factor interpretations or because we really are going to use those scores. These steps aren't made independently and are not done in this order. Considering the interpretations of factors can aid the number of factors decisions. Considering how the factor scores relate to each other and to variables external to the factoring can add both the number of factors decision and the interpretation. So it's an episodic process, much like we found in cluster analysis. Some cautionary comments. Remember, the number of factors decision is influenced by the particular variables in the analysis. So unless you are working with a closed set of variables, there probably isn't a real number of factors. Does that make sense? How many factors are there? What variables are you putting in? But how many are there? What variables are you putting in? Well, I want to put in some depression measures and some anxiety measures. Which ones? Okay. You get the answer you build in. The whole story includes how the number of factors changes with what variable additions and deletions, and how do these change your interpretations of the factors and the variables. The number of factors decision is not independent of interpretability. A factor is only real if it's meaningful. You have to be cautious of both making up and missing meaning. A guy named Jackson, who was just a great rabble-rouser the whole time that he was pushing statistics and measurement. And one of the things that he did in a couple of different studies was he selected a set of variables, rolled a dice to decide how many factors there was going to be, and then literally put in random structure weights. So there wasn't a factor structure. It was random numbers. And they would hand them to people who knew those variables, and people would very comfortably make up and talk themselves into factor interpretations. Well, it makes sense. I mean, if that's what you tell me the math says, I can make up a story that goes with this. There was no story. There was no math. It was random construction. We have to be careful of talking ourselves into things just because they seem to be sitting there in a structure matrix. You got to worry about meaningfulness. You got to worry about replicability. Agreement across decision rules is helpful. We're going to talk about several different decision rules, each of which is flawed in known ways. Replication is convincing. Split half and hold out sampling can help, but separate sampling replication is more convincing. This is where it can be really important to go get correlation matrices from other people. Go get correlation matrices from published articles. Figure out a way to get replications done that isn't on your dollar. Not just replicating, but correctly anticipating what will be the results of adding and deleting variables across samples. If you say, well, you know, I've got these two factors, but I think if I add these two other variables in, that's going to bridge these two factors and suddenly they're all going to come together into one. Or when I add this other factor, these three are going to fall off of factor one and make their own factor along with this new variable. That ability to anticipate what's going to happen is a very strong way of convincing people you know what the factor structure is. And again, the admonition that this is exploratory. Explore and consider alternative number of factor solutions. If you want to be really convincing, you end up using confirmatory factoring.